I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Quarantine. Welcome to Stuck at Home with Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. Here are your hosts, Jason Smith and Cliff Dorfman.
Huzzah! Welcome to a new episode of Stuck at Home with me, Cliff Dorfman, and this guy.
And me. I don't even know who I am anymore. I'm stuck at home.
You've lost an identity, Jason Smith.
I've lost my identity. It's been a week. Yes. We are the show, but I do know what we are. I don't know what I am anymore.
But what are we?
I know what we are. We're the show that has a lot of shows we love and we want you to love, and we go over them.
Yes, and we tell you all about the streaming wars, what to stream and where to stream it. What's up, buddy? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. What are you watching these days? What are you stuck at home watching?
I mean, it's been a lot of stuff. I mean, I have I did my whole list of must watch and watch, and you know, I mean, there's some new stuff. It's interesting. I've noticed, at least on social media, some people are liking stuff that I'm just hating.
Oh yeah. And,
yeah. I mean, what about you?
I felt like I had a plethora of good shows to watch over the holiday. And which was good because, you know, it turns out you don't really need a 4-day weekend to enjoy Thanksgiving when you don't go anywhere, you know, it's appreciated. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying like, get rid of the 4-day because COVID, right. But Jesus, like there's a lot of time, like first, not having to worry about anticipating going somewhere, doing that drive. Second, not having to actually talk to them. Like you just don't go right back to the hotel, right? You just stay home.
Oh, that's
food takes, it takes, if you know how long Thanksgiving takes, if you're just at home with your family, 30 minutes, you're in and out. You can order a pizza, have Thanksgiving, then have the pizza arrive right when it's over and enjoy second dinner.
It sounds like my son. Yeah. But that's absolutely true. I mean, I think most of it was traveling time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I give it like, oh, if you want to go or you need time to cook for 80 people or, you know, because with the quarantine and everything and being stuck at home, there is no, I mean, I loved it. Don't get me wrong, though. It's weird. I think this is the longest that we haven't done a show for.
Oh, right. Right. Because it would have been because we did one on Tuesday. And so normally if we've skipped a Friday, we'll do back on Monday. So this would be one day longer.
Well, right. Because we went. Well, actually, went from Tuesday till today. I mean,
That's what I'm saying. Normally, if we skip a Friday, we'll go Wednesday to today. So this would be one day longer.
Right. Exactly. Right. This is definitely since we started this, which is weird. You know, I was just so that was a little strange.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody knows this, but me and Cliff, sorry, I'm not even going to use the right English, are mortal enemies. We don't talk unless the show is going. So if that means we haven't talked in the last 5 days, except for passive aggressive emails where we call each other horrible names, horrible, horrible names.
None of that is true. None of that is true.
We've at least sent a text message letting each other know we're doing okay every day.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We speak every day for sure. And I will not even accept
that. I just
like
saying it that way.
Like, yeah, but it's so not true. It actually made me cringe. It's really pretty much the exact opposite. What's interesting though is today, what are we doing guest wise, Jace? Why don't you tell me?
Oh, so today's going to be really interesting. We had the director of photography for designer.
You
sorry,
can do
direct,
it.
Design director. I
Monday,
apologize.
Monday.
It's a Monday. Yeah.
It's a production designer, right?
Production designer for this really rad movie, The Sound of Metal. And what's cool about this movie, there's a lot of stuff that's cool about this movie. First of all, it's a very, very good movie. It's on the must watch list.
Yes.
And it stars Riz Ahmed, who you may or may not know. Nerds, you will know him from Rogue One, Star Wars, Star Wars Story, and also from Venom. He was the bad guy in Venom. So nerds, you'll recognize him from there. True crime people, you'll remember him as the person who got arrested in A Night Of.
He was
not in any way related to John Turturro and his problems with his shoes.
Which was great.
But it was a great movie. And then a few of you guys who are just really into indie film might recognize him from Nightcrawler.
Listen, this guy is a tour de force as an actor. And is it Olivia Cooke is her name? The lead, and she was in, I think, Ready Player One or something like that. Again, I know we're not doing that where I'm saying wrong things and we're looking them up. Yeah. So, but she's been in a bunch of stuff, but she is in this. It's like, I would be very shocked if Amazon Prime is not putting forth, Oscar campaigns for both Riz and her and the director and the sound. The sound is going to win. I have never, did we discuss this at all? First of all, hi, Dan, and a Jewish Thanksgiving like myself is the best. Bagels, cream cheese, white fish. I used to work at the deli counter at Walbaum's. Do you know that, Jason?
No, I did not know that.
You know what
I don't
Walbaum's
even know what Walbaum's is. Is that like a knockoff Walgreens?
Well, no. It's it's like the A&P or, Ralph's. Okay. It's Ralph's. Okay.
Oh, it's not like a, No, it's not like a fast food restaurant owned by or a pharmacy owned by the Wahlbergs.
No, it's called Walbaum's.
Yeah, that's
Walbaum's. It's closed now, but it was like Ralph's in Long Island, and I worked at the deli counter, and it was always like, let me have some white fish. I want a very fatty white fish, and I never knew what they meant by the very fish. So I would just pick up the white fish and be like, this one looks fatty. This is a good one. I'm going to put this one in there. Whitefish salad, though. Bagel lox. Very good. Happy Thanksgiving. And by the way, happy belated Thanksgiving to everybody. And we're definitely going to avoid talking about the fact that it was just basically the day where we raped and killed all the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a good day because I'm thankful for everything in my life that I have now that we took it. So, thank you. Sorry. It's Thanksgiving. It's like the whole thing. I think 1492 should be commemorated by the falling of that meteorite in Alais, France.
Yeah, and that's Columbus Day anyway. We don't need to worry about that.
No more Columbus Day.
We're in pilgrim territory now.
Yeah, listen, my ancestor signed the Mayflower Treaty, so I'm no one to talk. Let's just be clear. All right. What were you going to say, Jace?
Nothing.
Because I don't know if we talked about it on the show before, is the content of Sound of Metal.
Haven't yet. That's what we're going to get into a lot. But I want to bring that up first as kind of like a must watch show for sure.
Movie. Oh, yeah. This movie is going to win the award, Academy Awards, probably Golden Globe for sound editing for sure, for editing, sound design, whatever the awards are for sound, it's getting them all.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's must watch Amazon Prime. And they did. This is the exact same release strategy that they did last year with Honey Boy.
Oh, and Honey Boy. I remember LaBeouf. Honey Boy. Was Honey Boy? That was an Amazon show. I didn't realize that was an Amazon. That did a theatrical, though, didn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what this would have done, too. Remember, and still did. It did a theatrical November 22nd.
That's right.
And it comes
right out
December 2nd on Amazon.
Right. That's right. That's what it is. These things still confuse me a little bit. That one's going out to theatrical. It did it 17 days and now it's home.
So it's all set to be considered. I don't know what they're doing with the awards this year. But Amazon's got it across the board covered. And do we want to get into the content of this?
I don't want to get too far in because we're going to have a big talk there, but just needless to say, it's a really, really strong film with an audio design that's probably the most original thing you've ever heard. It's a movie where you're not supposed to hear everything great, but not a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, but this is purposeful. This is, we're actually experiencing someone going deaf, which
thoughtful.
Never in my life have I experienced in a film or otherwise, obviously. And Chris Nolan is just someone who doesn't want you to know that his script is not up to snuff. So he makes the sound bad. All right, so what are we doing? Are we going to play? So what? How are we doing it, Jason? Are we going to play the interview,
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to we're going to attach the interview to the end of this, because otherwise we change clothes and do all that kind of stuff. And that way we're going to have that video out there with the audio. But for you, everybody else at home, we're going to just have a regular show. We're going to talk about, we're going to catch up on all the things we didn't catch up on Friday. Mm-hmm. We're going to catch up with some more stuff. And then Wednesday, we got another show with another great guest, and we'll have some fun then too. But for today, I just really wanted to get into all the Thanksgiving stuff we watched, all the things that are out there, and then move from there. And I wanted to start off, because I saw your list. It's great. But it's missing one key show that I think that won Thanksgiving for me that I really want to talk about. And you still didn't watch it, which makes me sad.
Let me tell you, it was symptomatic of not wanting to pay for Peacock again.
Yeah. And let me be clear. I'm not really that sad, because we'll get you there and I'll let you borrow my Peacock.
Okay.
And I want to talk about Peacock first, because hopefully it'll take us till 4 and I can use it for our Meundies.
Moon Sister. Yeah. I was just thinking that. I'm like, wrap your Peacock. Yeah. Go. Okay.
Right. But what I want to bring up, and I understand that this might be controversial. Saved by the Bell reboot. One of the better shows to come out in 2020. It was Saved by the Bell reboot.
Okay. So I am not saying that, because first of all, I haven't seen it. So right. I can't even argue it or not argue it. Second of all, I box at Wild Card, which is Freddie Roach's gym, and Mario Lopez boxes there regularly. Like, him and Freddie are tight. And this guy is a beast.
Oh, he's ripped. And there's plenty of times when Slater has his shirt off. He's
It's not about shredding, because there's a lot of guys who have gym muscles. You know what I mean? Like, this guy is a beast. He hits you, it's like your rib explodes. Like, this guy can box. It's actually scary. The only other guy that I've seen, two other actors like this, Max Martini and Ethan Embry. Mm-hmm. These three guys, like, they hit you and they can shatter bones.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you. It's no bullshit. Well, when you're in this little, like, Hollywood fight scene, there's only about 8 places people go. Oh, Frank Grillo's the other one. He's the other one who can shatter a bone.
Yeah, well, you can tell by Frank's aggression that he could shatter anything he wants. You could just see.
Frank stays hungry.
I don't think we talked about it much, but one of the people that most seriously acted in jiu-jitsu, was Frank. Frank really, really, really got into it. He was not underselling anything in that shit.
But that's what Frank does. I mean, there's zero or 150.
Right.
You know, and he's never at zero.
Right.
Unless he's like sleeping. I'm serious, man. Frank is, isn't one of the hungriest guys, out there. He's like really a hustler. The best. Okay. So
I wanted to put this up here, because I want to play this for you guys. While we talk,
so we can get shut
talk,
down
this
on Facebook.
Can be the audio, but I'm going to play the trailer with the audio from the Saved by the Bell official trailer. Because I want to get into this a little bit with you and explain it. And this will be one of those times where I'm explaining a movie or a show to you that you haven't seen yet.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So,
okay, wait. First question is, where's Screech?
So Screech is
Bachelorette video didn't help him.
Screech is not in this show. They reference Screech in the show. They do tell you where he is. I'm not going to spoil that for anybody.
Right, but what's the real referenced. Story?
The real know? Story is probably that nobody wants to deal with Screech after the whole assault with the stabbing that he was arrested for, that he went to jail for, and then his fake. Well, I think they would have let him in after that. Then he had the fake porn, the fake scat porn.
I thought that was real. No, he
has said that was a body double. It wasn't really him. Maybe it was, but it seems weird to release it. And then, but I think the bigger thing that probably threw a lot of people off, Screech did a behind the bell tell-all book where he said a bunch of really kind of shitty things about everybody.
Oh, so that was it.
Yeah. You can do scat porn. Just don't say mean things about Zach Morris, man. Lisa Turtle also has a very limited cameo in the show, but actually does appear. But she, I think, went nuts at one point. Like, I don't mean that in like a derogatory way, but she literally.
Who?
Lisa Turtle.
Are you talking about? Wait, what about Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Lisa, she's in it. She's saw in her it. In that preview.
I didn't see her.
Yeah, she was Mark Voorhees is Lisa Turtle. She had a bit of she has a schizophrenic disorder, I think, but she had a thing happen that she went a little bit nutty little while ago. So I don't want to get it part, you know, say anything mean because I thought it was something a little less serious. But yeah, but she was in it. You just don't recognize her as much because she doesn't quite look like Kelly Kapowski anymore. But she's married to Zach. That's figured out right at the beginning. Mark and Tiffany are in the first scene. So here's what I'll say about that trailer.
What do you love about this show?
There's two big parts. Number one, when we watch that preview, what you got is a lot of the nostalgia and like the "we're friends forever" bullshit. Mm-hmm. And that's not really what this show is. This show was written and kind of reimagined by a really amazing woman named Tracy Wigfield. And if you don't know who Tracy is, she's a comedy writer. She wrote on 30 Rock and it was a big part of that as a producer and as a writer. She actually appears as herself in the show. She's also on The Mindy Project. She's a producer and writer on that for a long time. And she was also on Great News. She kind of was the creator and executive producer in 23 episodes, and she was a writer of 15 episodes of that. So she kind of comes from that 30 Rock kind of written like the way Tina writes. So it's got
it's got a Mean Girls feel.
Well, you got a 30 Rock feel, right? You have that beat joke, absurd joke, kind of like, you know, all the stuff that you hear Tracy Jordan say, all the stuff that you see,
Jane Krakowski.
Jane Krakowski say, all that kind of stuff where it's like, and Alec Baldwin where it's like this, you know, something kind of real than this absurdist joke.
Alec was the straight man, right?
Yeah, but he still had those moments when there were those big jokes, right?
Right. I think actually Tina was more the straight man, right? Straight person, I guess we'd say.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, it's really hard with those kind of shows because everybody plays, that role at one point.
It's interesting.
But what I would say is, but the beat and the story kind of work the same way. There's always this kind of absurdist joke. You know, if you think about Kimmy Schmidt, how the structure of those jokes, and it's just like random, like a minute. Uh-huh. That's what the show is. So the way that the premise of the show is Zach Morris to get out of a traffic ticket.
So wait, to be fair, the first thing you love about the show is who created it, rebooted it.
I wouldn't have watched it if I didn't know that Tracy Wigfield did it.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. That's the biggest thing. That's what brought you in. You're like, this is a very funny person with a new take on this. I already liked this show when I was a kid. I'm going to check this out.
Yeah. Well, I liked it as a kid. I had no interest in seeing it as an adult. I don't have any kind of like, I don't miss any of them. The only thing that would have brought me to watch would just be that same reason I watched the first two or three new 90210 episodes when they came out. I just want to see what the oldies look like older, right? That's all I wanted to see. Yeah,
they had a good premise, and then they immediately got terrible.
Right.
I don't know what happened. I wanted it to be good.
Yeah, me too. I watched through like four or five episodes of it, but it just wasn't. So, but that was playing it very straight. That was very much a continuation of the 90210 story in its own little way. This is not that. So I got into it because of that. And also I saw some pretty delightful reviews. I didn't really read the reviews because I don't want to get spoiled, but from places I trust saying this was a good show. And that's what kind of drew me in. And then I'm going to give an episode a chance. I got nothing else to do. It's Thanksgiving. Everything's over. I don't have any family to fight with. This will be my nostalgia, right? So what I did was I put that first episode on. And the premise that I can give away without ruining anything, not that this needs a lot of spoilers, is that Zach Morris, to get out of a traffic ticket, runs for governor and wins, right? That's the reason he runs for governor.
Tiffany Mark Paul Goss.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Kelly Kapowski, and him are married. And then eventually he becomes the governor of California. In order to appease big business and to pay off some debts, he cuts funding to schools by like $25 million, right? He cuts school funding.
So he's Reagan.
Like, he's a villain, right? He's a villain. Yeah, he's Reagan. He cuts this. And with that closure, it means a bunch of schools are going to close, but like inner city, specifically schools like Bayside, which are rich public schools,
will be fine.
But that, so they're cutting all these. And so he gets kind of squared into a debate or in a conversation, like, well, what are you going to do with all these schools that are getting closed and all these people? And so he offers busing as a solution. So basically has to bus in all these inner city kids to different schools, including Bayside, to give them the education that he got, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the premise. So then you have these, you know, basically it circles around three people from an inner city school, one guy and two women played expertly. And it's, you know, one Latinx woman, one black woman, and one black man. And they kind of join the school and kind of are the outsiders looking in. For the most part, for the first couple episodes, this is, you know, and especially in these first ones, it's their story that's being told. Mm-hmm. And everything else that's happening to them is happening in the peripheral. Zach Morris has a son. His name's Mac Morris. You saw him in there, right? Jesse Spano has a daughter, or has a son also called named Jesse.
Jesse is Elizabeth Berkeley?
Jesse is Elizabeth Berkeley.
Let's just stop right there for a minute. Can we just talk about how good she looks? I mean, I've always loved her as an actor. I don't care what anybody says. Showgirls, I've seen it 100 times. I think Elizabeth Berkeley is a fucking star. That being said, I can't believe how good she looks. Like, it doesn't even look like any work. Like this, I've always loved her as an actor. She looks amazing.
Yeah, she looks great. She seems like she's doing really well.
Well, she's married to Ralph Lauren's kid. I mean, she's not doing terrible.
Greg Lauren?
Yeah.
Who Dylan looks like Lauren. He belongs no, in...
Dylan's the girl.
Yeah, Greg belongs on. I'm just looking at Greg. Like, he looks like he could have starred in American Psycho.
He looks like Patrick.
Yeah, he looks like Patrick. He doesn't. He looks like Patrick Bateman. He does not look like what's his face. He starred in that actual movie.
Like Christian Bale.
No, he looks like
right.
Patrick.
He Bateman. Just looks like Patrick Bateman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. He was played by Christian Bale.
Right.
Got it. But meanwhile, she's doing fine. Okay, so you got her, and she is at the school. She's an administrator, right?
Yes, she's an administrator. She basically plays like a counselor. She's got a PhD. She's gotten through doctors and all that stuff.
Gotcha.
And
so go on. So you like this show overall. So you got drawn in
right.
by this. And you're right. saying the first couple episodes.
So that's the basic structure of it. You have
right.
She's there. And also Slater's there. Slater plays the gym coach.
Right. And he's childless and
single. And marriage. Yeah. And single and all that fun stuff. So that's the characters,
rich.
but his parents were never rich. He was the kid that was brought in back in
no,
the
No, but
show.
I'm saying in the show now, like when they showed him in his kitchen or whatever,
he's not rich. He's not in his kitchen. He's at a,
oh, that's someone kitchen. Else's kitchen.
Yeah. He still plays kind of the, you know, the blue collarist person. That's not a main character. But the reality of it is it's kind of like watching people like that's all like setting. And even those characters, the Zach Morrises and the Jesse Spanos and the Mac Morrises and their kids mm-hmm. all kind of play like this background role. And you can see it a little bit in the preview where they're really there in this weird kind of bubble world where like their white people problems can just be solved in an hour. And there's all these little plots and plans and they're kind of happening peripherally to the real show. Like there's these kids are trying to live in this, imagine being a real, like kind of grounded character in a world where everything's crazy on the outside. Right. And they can do anything they want. And like school doesn't matter for Zach. He can just get out of whatever paper by coming up with this plot, but that doesn't work for these kids. These kids in particular still have to do the regular rules. And so they're kind of, it's like this, mm-hmm. it's kind of like playing in a meta heightened version of this, kind of like the way 30 Rock would work or the way Great News worked, where there's all this comedy happening, but none of that stuff, all of it is played for what it is, which is bullshit and fantastic.
and to be clear though, you really think this is the best show of 2020?
No, I just said it's one of the better shows of 2020.
Okay.
I never said it was the best. It's still got a very kid kind of thing to it. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of kind of interesting stuff happening here. There's no like Kelly Kapowski in the show. Technically, there's no straight white sex symbol like or, you know, even if she was a teenager then or whatever. But there is no Tiffany Thiessen mm-hmm. in this show. There is, you know, there are other characters that kind of play that role of, you know, like I said, people of color and all that stuff. But there's no like white girl. The main female actress in this show is a trans woman named Josie Toda. And she talks about being trans at the beginning, and there's a couple other scenes that do it, going after the boys, and you know wants to hook up with her best guy friend for from ever, and uh-huh. that relationship's played very real and grounded. But and she's snarky and mean, and she kind of has that same Jane Krakowski vibe, but but she's a trans woman, you know, going to a school that accepts her, but also she's struggled. And so they have scenes like that. So it's a really good kind of like well-rounded show. That's kind of, you know, it's obviously 30 Rock light, but it's also really good. And they, you know, it gets by the Elizabeth Berkley may be great, but she's not the greatest actress in the world. And neither is Gosler or Thiessen or any of them, but they're there that. And but they work around that. They work around that really well.
Well, listen, but you got to say there's a reason that we're still talking about them too. So, you know, and that they're still doing this. So, you know, and again, all right. So basically this is going on Jason's must watch.
Yep. I'm saying this is a must watch. This should be watched.
Saved by the Bell reboot on Peacock, must watch.
Damn right. Must watch.
All right. I will check it out. I don't know if I'm going to have the same passionate elation that you have, but
I don't know that you won't.
I want to.
I didn't want to enjoy the show. I didn't want to watch all these episodes. I wanted to hate this show.
Oh, but you got to watch them all. So you've seen the whole season.
I've seen the whole season. Oh, I got through it in like a minute. Like there's nothing else to watch on Peacock then. I could disappear from using Peacock for another 6 months or forever maybe.
That's right. There's nothing else to watch on Peacock. That's exactly right. Okay. We're done with that, I think. Mm-hmm. Saved by the Bell? Because I wish I could add something except
I don't need you to add anything. I don't need you to add anything. Just know that if you do watch it, you will enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, you kind of have a problem and we need to talk about that. And we'll get into that later.
And I'm
we'll
get American. Into why.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We can figure that out. But for right now, just know, like it or get out.
All right, next. Moving on. Saved by the Bell. Jason Smith must watch. All right, so
I want to talk about Flight Attendant, because this is one I did not watch. I watched the beginning of the first episode, mm-hmm. And I thought it was okay. And I thought when we talked that you weren't on board all the way when we talked this weekend, but it's on the must watch list. So let's talk about this. This is going to be the opposite.
Okay. Yeah, I've waffled over the whole weekend. You know, you got to watch all three episodes. If you just watch the pilot, I would say you might toss the show out.
Okay.
But watching all three episodes, you get into a place where you're like, this is good. First of all, let's start. It's Greg Berlanti. So they're a factory, right? They do all the CW shows. They, you know, they do Doom Patrol. They do, I mean, he didn't do This Is Us, but he did, he's basically like the new Spelling, except he has, you know, it's a factory and he's not hands-on with every show.
Right. So Berlanti's done a lot of the CW, not just Doom Patrol stuff. He's done like Flash and Arrow and Supergirl.
DC.
And DC, like all those CW.
Yeah, he's the DC go-to.
Yeah.
And, but he's also done a lot of the dramas, you know, that aren't DC.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the Eli Stone, Everwood, Jack and Bobby, Boston's Finest. He's got like these two, and then there's a whole bunch of other weird shows that are more the thing, but he kind of leans on those two sides of the fence. Plus you, which is what I thought this was when I was presented this one, it was the writer of You. Mm-hmm. So that's where I kind of thought about this, but he also did Dawson's Creek, right?
I don't want to say he did, but I would not surprise me. All I'm going to say. But if you find out he did, tell me, because I'd be like,
oh, he was an executive producer and writer on that one.
Okay. So that's how he started out. And I think, you know, if I'm...
That's exactly where he started.
So you have Greg Berlanti. So there's already a certain tone that's going to be set, right? Now, this is the R-rated, I guess, version of... So for guys out there, I'm just going to tell you, and for women out there who love Kaley Cuoco, she is fully clothed the whole show. Okay? Now, that being said, she looks amazing and she's great. But here's the thing. Okay. So in the first episode, and I am a huge fan of her. I believe it or not, the only reason I watched Big Bang was because of her. I really like her.
Nothing.
You hate Big Bang?
I couldn't imagine watching that show just for her is all I'm saying. She is such a, like the least interesting of the three of them, at least at the beginning of that series, because she wasn't really given a character until later. And I think I'm not mad at it, but I just think it's funny.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me be clear. It's not just like, in other words, it's when she's interacting with the guys that I enjoy the show the most. I don't want to just see like her storyline.
Right.
I'm saying that she's the one who brought that to life for me. And I think she's really good. I think her timing's really good. That being said, in the pilot, it starts out, and here's what's interesting. Seeing the life of a flight attendant, Now, I don't know, this Mind Palace technique where you're seeing all the, you know, things that are happening each time, you know, they're loading the tray. You understand what I mean when I say Mind Palace technique. It's not very original. And it's like it's from 24 on, and no one took the time to like be like, hey, we're on HBO Max. Let's do something really cool. No, not really. I mean, it looks edgy, but it's really not.
Right.
And she's got this flashback from youth. And here's what happens. The Mind Palace stuff I just feel is weak. They're lazy. It's being leaned on, right? Then you have Kaley Cuoco, who is great. Though in the pilot, all I was seeing was like Big Bang Light. It was like da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and those, the hits and the rhythm. And I was like, okay, but this is our dramedy. This is a different pace. This is single camera. You got to take this, in, especially if it's a mystery. And then, you know what the show's about, right? It's about a flight attendant who wakes up.
And there's a dead person there and she doesn't remember anything, right? It's the hangover with murder.
Yes. And they're dealing like she is a full-blown alcoholic.
Right.
Let's just be clear. And they're kind of half-assed dealing with that.
Right. Is she a full-blown alcoholic or is she like a 30-year-old party girl?
Oh, no. She's a full-blown alcoholic.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, she's blacking out. She has like little pieces of memory. And that's why they're using the Mind Palace thing. And then they took this technique of she's talking to the corpse now for the rest of the season.
That's going to be a thing.
Well, it has been for the first three episodes. I don't imagine he's going to disappear because right now, is she accused? Did she do it? Does she not? Does she remember? You know, and they're showing the, you know, and listen, here's the other thing. Everything is so perfectly put into place. Like her brother is gay. He's got his ethnic gay boyfriend and their kids, you know, and it's like, okay, so that wrapped up. And then there's a black flight attendant. There's Rosie Perez. It's like they basically made sure that every diversification was covered. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not organic.
Okay.
To the stories. You know, it's like it's not. And then the guy she kills, of course, it's much a deeper thing and you get into the mystery. Now here, after the pilot, when this ends, you're like, if they were saying I had to wait till next week, I might not have watched the second episode.
Okay.
So they obviously knew what they were doing.
By putting out three of these?
Yeah. And then you get into the second episode and she starts to, I feel like I want to say she calms down a little,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and settles more into who this character is.
Okay.
And we start to see, you know, the supporting cast starts. There is the guy, the guy who plays her buddy, the flight attendant. He, the black guy is great. And he really starts to shine in the second episode. And what they do, and again, they do this thing. They're not talking about who's gay, who's straight, who's this. It's like that same Schitt's Creek philosophy where like everything's fine. Just don't murder anybody.
Right.
Right. And now, okay, so he's involved in a much deeper thing. It gets deeper. There's a deep state. Someone's watching her. There's an assassin. You know, so by the end of the third episode, maybe she did it. Maybe, but you're in. You're okay. Definitely in. Even if the mystery is not the crux, and it's not the hook to me.
Okay.
You know, it's first of all, they put it out at a good time. There is not that much for this to compete with.
Nope. Except Saved by the Bell.
Exactly. So, no, what I'm saying, even if Saved by the Bell is fantastic, like you say, which I'm sure it must be, it's not the same audience, except for you.
Could be.
What?
You just don't know it. If you're not an audience for Saved by the Bell reboot, you're not a human.
Oh, wow. That got mean quick. It went like right from like, yeah. No, I really like you. You should die.
Die.
Wow. So I think, again, and they lean and rely a lot. I use this term, the Mind Palace technique, which is annoying. I got to say, it really is. And again, the director, I guess, who's from you also, there's no strong narrative hand here in the helming. In other words, like you're seeing shots where it's like, you know those shots, but it just jerks, like from the drink to the face, to the drink, to the elbow, to the door. And you're like, just
calm down.
Yeah.
Like, calm down. If this isn't Shaun of the Dead, we have time.
And if there's a reason you're doing that, cool. But again, none of these things seem organic to the story and to the characters.
Right.
You know, like she's, and again, I know it sounds like I don't like this, but I really did. I put it on must watch because they did build something really nice and they are going to have, I think, a very interesting first season. Though, you know, it's a choice. She's in the middle of looking at this, you know, being looked at for an international murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she woke up in bed, and this is not a spoiler, this is in the trailer, you know, with a dead guy who's bleeding everywhere. And, you know, she gets back to New York finally, you know, and she goes to a spin class. Now, I don't know. I've never killed anybody or woken up in a bed with someone bloody. I'm going to think I might not go to the gym, but I might. I don't know, you know, but these are the things I'm starting to think about while I'm watching it. And then it was like right around that time in the spin class when she pulls out of the spin class and does the Mind Palace thing.
Right.
Right after that, it started to catch its groove. So you don't have to wait too long. And I think
she just
had
a clear head at a spin class and everything got better. That's the way, that's what spin classes are for. It's for really bringing things into focus.
Yeah, you spin them right into focus. No, don't use that one. Ah, oh, that fell flat. All right, listen. Overall, I really like it. Overall, I think there's a good enough mystery, you know, that we're into it, you know, and the soap opera aspects of it are, you know, just fine. And by the third episode, you're like, okay, I'm ready next Thursday. Let me have another one.
Now, you watch this, and I don't think that these are the same shows by any means, but I think the only thing that I could think of right now that's out that kind of has that murder mystery vibe that I think people are really into is The Undoing, which I know that was on our don't watch. But do you have, like, you know, this is another murder mystery kind of show. What makes this more compelling than something like The Undoing?
Okay, so it's a good question, and it's going to cause me to backtrack a little.
Okay.
Because, you know, I said that, you know, it's a very diverse cast, but it didn't seem necessarily organic to the storyline, right? The non-diversity in The Undoing, the straight up white privilege, you know, kill the ethnic girl, you know, in the first episode and move on to see if a good looking Hugh Grant or good looking Nicole Kidman or another good looking white person did this thing. It just gets so banal and so pretentious. And with this, at least, they don't take themselves as seriously. That's the other thing, too. The diverse cast brings a levity to this that makes you go, you know what? Okay, even though there's this or there's that, I'm having fun.
Right.
And The Undoing is like, you can just see, like, I don't know, I feel like I could just see David E. Kelly sitting there like, this is awesome. Oh, I love this. It's like when in South Park, when everyone was smelling their farts when they bought Priuses.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I feel like he's smelling his own farts and thinking it's good. And listen, I think we're in a minority on this one. People seem to like this show once you get past the first couple episodes. It didn't lace into me. But again, it just seemed to me to be so out of touch. Same thing with Big Sky. Out of touch, whereas at least the flight attendant is happening with today's times. It is moving in a direction that's, even with the editing or whatever, and like I said, I don't like the Mind Palace stuff, but at least they're using something. Like, keep my interest, keep it moving. You know, you're not Scorsese, Mr. Kelly. And, you know, we're not expecting that from you. I don't want it from you. I don't want you to try to be that. That's really what it is. I think, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I do. I feel like it takes itself far too seriously, and it's far too white. And listen, I like a good white show. I'm not saying I don't, but, you know, let's just a little more real life. And then the one guy he puts in there is the Spanish guy actor, and he's got an accent on the NYPD. And you know how long I spent looking up, you know, me and accents?
Right.
You know how long I spent looking up if you could actually have an accent and be a detective at the NYPD? Hours. Hours. Not really. No, I mean, you'd have to become a citizen first. Mm-hmm. And in that time to become a citizen, the time thing doesn't work. I would be hard pressed to find a Spanish accent detective of homicide.
Got it.
Just saying. Just throwing it out there. You know, it's like, again, not organic to the storyline, out of touch.
What I want to talk about real quick is, like, you know, you go on these flights, right? And people are still flying.
I know.
Right? People are still flying. People, like, 3 million people flew over Thanksgiving.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. It's insane. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing. But what I am saying is, you know, when you did fly, you know what I like the most about flying? The hot towel, because nobody ever gives me a hot towel. No? Nobody ever, like, in my day-to-day life, other than I think maybe a sushi restaurant every once in a while and a plane, it's the only time I'm just like handed a hot towel to wipe my face with in front of other people. Like, that's not something you do anywhere else, right?
You do it at a shave.
But they do it to you. And that makes sense because the whole thing is focused around your face. There's nothing about airplane travel that says my face needs to be really, really clean right now. And I get it, and I'm glad for it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thinking, like, you know, sometimes they give you slippers, they give you a little blanket. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm just saying, first flight that offers me a MeUndies gift pack, which would consist of a mask, a dog, PJs, a onesie, and maybe some socks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if and the girl me would get a bralette or something also, but that's just girl me. That's the place. That is, I would, they have hard-toed slippers even. That is the yes. airplane. I would get all, I don't care if you pay me all my airline miles in MeUndies clothes. That is the airline I will stay with forever. The first airline that will get my business for the rest of everybody is that one. Oh, and Vivian, we'll talk about this because I was just watching Schitt's Creek again too. Mm. Economy class, I don't fit back there no more. Not from a size perspective, just because once you fly first class a couple times, it doesn't matter. You're gonna figure out a way to get up there.
Yeah, I'm just not gonna go.
Yeah.
If I can afford first class, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go. This MeUndies thing, though, that you're talking about, I really like this idea. I feel like Virgin was around still, like Virgin America, they would make the deal with MeUndies, and they would have already had the deal. Like the onesie, the towel, the mat. I like all of this, by the way. And on top of it, I spent a lot of time in my onesie this weekend.
Over Thanksgiving, yeah.
I did.
There was something really weird I saw today that didn't have anything to do with MeUndies, but they were little onesie outfits, and there was like... And I'm gonna make this a little bit of a side, but I'm gonna bring it back to the MeUndies. But like it was a bunch of like girls in like little onesie outfits with like one of those butt, like it had like the butt buttons with like one of the butt buttons just folded over, just a little, so you saw just a little bit of butt. Huh? And these are ads on Facebook, and the girls going,
it's like that's the
not sexy, because you know what I know? That's not soft. Those pants aren't soft. The reason you're letting your body not be touched by the cloth and letting it fall over and go is because that's not a comfy backside. If you were really wearing MeUndies in the softest material of all time, not a single part of your body would not be covered in that MeUndies. Like if everybody in the world would be Mormon if the garments were made out of Molar.
By the way, micromodal. And this is, you're absolutely right. If that thing was down, you'd be like, oh, I got to put that right back up. I'm missing a patch.
Soft. I'm not protected in the softest way possible.
Yeah, I know. It's like, literally like hibernation. This whole weekend I hibernated. And by the way, I may or may not have gotten a couple of the memberships as gifts. It's just a good idea. And by the way, it's so easy. I'm just off the hook.
Yeah.
Fill out your size.
People will be, you know, and if anybody gets weirded out about it, it'll only be for a second. And the next second they'll be like, oh, it's so soft.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the best thing. And by the way, you can pick out pieces and just get them. And it works really well. And the dog thing, the dog micromodal thing, I ordered a few of those. I'm not going to lie.
And let me be clear. I'm not somebody that just likes to talk about underwear. That's a lie. I will talk about anything. I'll talk about bowel movements. You want to talk to me about something, I'm pretty much an open book.
Say by the bell.
Yeah, say by the bell. You know, whatever. I'm gross. I'll talk to you about whatever you wanted to be talked about. But really, I enjoy talking about MeUndies, and I will share stories just like anything else. So just
by the way, and you know, you talked about Saved by the Bell, and what did you say about Peacock?
Oh, it's on Peacock. It's on Peacock. You know what else is on my Peacock?
What?
MeUndies.
Yes, there it is. So we go to
and if you put your finger out the hole and you have a really fancy color of MeUndies. That's what I call peacock. Like if it, like the background's really pretty and colorful, that's how I peacock. that's a smattering. That's a better laugh.
No, I gave you the smattering on purpose. So it's MeUndies.com, offer code STUCK, right? 15% off?
15% like off. Everybody new. Offer code STUCK. Go to MeUndies.com. All right. Now it's time to move on.
From MeUndies and comfort into more comfort shows and maybe what to stay away from a little more too. But all right, what do you want to do next?
So I think that we should talk about, I'm looking at my phone on some of the other stuff that I wanted to ask you about. I want to go into your don't watch a little bit because there are a couple things on here that I think would be worth talking about today.
Great.
The first, what happened with The Bachelorette? I thought you loved it. That's a must watch.
It moved. I mean, it just really jumped the shark. You know, I tried to stay with it when Claire left. And I really liked the new Bachelorette. I can't believe you're letting me talk about it.
Well, I'm curious. I'm always curious about things that move from one side to the other.
Right. So it started out great, and Claire would have been, to me, the absolute perfect bachelorette. And then they brought this other woman on, and she's really sweet and really nice, and I can't recall her name even at this point, you know, and she just is not the drama factory that Claire was. And, you know, you don't watch these shows, like, for everybody to get along or to have a good time or, you know, and then the guys are, like, fighting, and you got, like, the same guys hitting the same beat, like, oh, that guy's not the guy she thinks he is, so I'm going to tell her. And then there the yokels who spend their time talking to her, and then she just, like, if Claire heard one thing where people weren't paying attention to her, she'd be like, I just have to stop everything and just, like, this is all about me. Why are you guys not paying attention to me? And you know what? I have to stop this whole cocktail party. I'm going back to my room. I am so upset. And she, like, and you're like, okay, this is good. And I think maybe this new bachelorette's too nice, mm-hmm. for starters. She's not conflict driven, mm-hmm. which is not great for reality TV.
No, you need somebody that's, yeah, exactly.
You know, and then you got these guys who are like, listen, I don't think there's 8% body fat between any of these dudes.
Right.
You know, it's amazing to me. They can all, you know, it used to be where I'd watch it and be like, okay, they're all cucks. It's amazing to me they can watch. But at this point, it's just gotten boring.
Remember when there were only like two buff dudes in Hollywood? Like, it was just Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're the only two buff people. Like, everybody else had to have a shirt, but like, those were the two guys. Like, oh, look at when you talk about buff people, it's like either Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger. There weren't 100 of them. There might have been a couple other people, Dolph and all that stuff, a little bit later, but like, it was. There was, now it's like every dude on TV is like a six pack and like the veiny kind of six pack that's kind of gross. Like, looks like. You know, if there's not a happy trail there, it's literally like just muscle veins coming out, like, because everybody works their core.
Yeah. And no one eats.
No one eats.
No, I know. It's really, and you're seeing, but what it really is, you're boring. That's what it got down to. It's just, you're boring. And at the end of it, and I don't even want to get to the end of it. I don't care about the dates. I don't care who ends up with who. It's just lost. I don't even know the dude's names anymore. And I was following it with Claire because she was so serious about paying attention to her. It was awesome. And then, I don't know, man. I was trying to stay in. I really was. I like La Quinta where they're filming it. It just, I just, man, even the challenges, like, I don't even know what they are. These group dates or the how she's giving out roses. It's all just so subjective now. It just feels like the whole show got tilted and it never got put back on its axis. And plus, they're doing like stupid little vignettes with like the guy goes to Chris Harrison's bungalow by accident. Like, hey, is she? Oh, oops! And he's like, oh, you want to come in for a drink? It's like 2:30 in the morning.
Have you watched much of the show before this season?
No. Well, listen, I watched a few seasons, right? Like when I had a girlfriend, so right. I watched The Bachelor, and then I watched when the Katie girl, whatever her name was, she became the Bachelorette. And I loved her because, again, so much drama. And then it just went away from me. Mm-hmm. And I clicked back on the Claire one because she just looked drama filled.
Yeah. No, I mean, and this one was at first. And yes. And I think the other show that's a little more snarky is that that Bachelor in Paradise one. There's a lot more funny stuff in that one where they find things. Here's my thing, because I think all these things are pretty much the same. And I suffered from a lot of the same stuff with the Big Brother this year. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of putting a bunch of people in one place and quarantining them maybe doesn't have the same appeal anymore because we're all kind of doing it. And so that whole struggle doesn't feel all that interesting. It's a little less interesting right now than it would be in a time where you can go out and have a life and then watch these people without focusing on one thing.
That's really smart.
You know,
I agree with that completely. Yeah, I do think it took away. And then you take away a drama-filled bachelorette. You know, a conflict-based, drama-filled bachelorette, and you don't have the best reality TV.
That's right.
You know, and it's just a little off-kilter. So, yeah, it fell off its axis. It felt like nobody put it back on. And, you know, Mike Fleiss is just, you know, I mean, he's so rich. I don't even know if he watches the episodes anymore.
No, I'm sure he's not at this point.
You know, so, yeah. So it just went boof. I'm like, I don't care. I can't do this. I'm out. So I'm out. It's now don't watch.
All right. So I want to get into one more. There's a lot of other stuff on the list that I'm going to put it out there because we're going to talk about more of this on Friday or throughout the week because mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. I want to talk to you about Belushi and this Dalai Lama movie, scientist, and His Dark Materials, which I watched over the holiday and I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I also want to talk to you about Hillbilly Elegy. But I want to take more time than what we have.
Okay.
But I did want to talk to you because I also watched this and I also kind of share the same opinion with you. Kevin Hart's Zero Fucks Given.
It's on my don't watch list. And okay, let me be clear. I like Kevin Hart, right? I hear he's a nice person. I don't know him, but I like him as a, you know, celebrity, as a comedian. You know, his other stand-up specials, they made me laugh. They were okay. I mean, you know, his movies are good. You know, there are certain ones that are better, you know, where I'm like, oh, that was good for, cool. You know, it's always like, kind of like, that was good, but I'm not looking at him like the one he did with Bryan Cranston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well,
that movie where you're like, yeah. Like, wasn't that like the Scent of a Woman kind yes. of movie?
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Bryan Cranston's in a wheelchair and he's got to have the guy. It's yes, it's anxiety. And Kevin Hart is Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah.
And Bryan Cranston's Pacino. And it's a mess. You know, and again, I'm not saying Kevin Hart can't act or can act. I'm saying that I just like the guy.
Yeah, right? I liked. I mean, it wasn't a good movie, but I like Central Intelligence. I watched it a couple times. It was fun.
I saw it in the theater with Dylan. Yeah. You know, it was fine. It was good. I enjoyed it. Hour and 40 something minutes. They're not trying to be something it's not. It's got all the, you know, stupid gags and blah blah blah. I don't know what happened. First of all, let's just discuss the fact that this stand-up special takes place in this guy's living room. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the most. I think he lives in Calabasas, by the way.
Okay.
This is the most out of touch thing I could. This guy is so in another world that it starts out and you see him like with the wife and the kids, how he's being a good dad. He's like, yeah, give me a kiss. Give me a bump. Give me a dip. All right. I got to go. He takes a drink and it's like, oh, we're seeing his big bar. He's like walking from one wing to the other. And we're like, all right. A lot of people lost their jobs. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like Kim Kardashian had a birthday party, right? Didn't people go up in arms? Someone told me.
Oh, I'm sure. If she had a big party, yeah.
Well, so they did an island thing or something, you know, like this is for whatever, I don't know. But I feel like someone mentioned this to me and people were in an uproar. It's like you have to understand what you're doing here. You're putting out a comedy special. You're choosing to put a comedy special in a time where we have the highest suicide rate. Mental health is not great. People have lost their jobs, their homes, their businesses, their lifelong things that they worked all their life for. And you're now going to say to us, because you don't want to leave your house and you're going to spend the first 10 minutes of this special. When you come on the stage, all these people are I'm assuming your friends that are sitting in the audience in your living room, which is right. He was nice enough to close the sheer blinds to the side of him to cover the flame lit pool, you know, Olympic sized right. swimming pool that he's got. And by the way, he's Kevin Hart. He should have all these things. He earned them. I don't want him stuffed down my throat, buddy. And it makes you less funny. And the fact that you have zero touch to what is happening in the world and that you think it's okay to, and I, let me tell you, Jason, I could have put all of that aside. I really could have if he was just fucking funny, but he wasn't. He wasn't funny at all. He talks about the vid, like it's not funny. You're not funny. There's nothing you're saying. You don't say, well, why I had this special in my house? Because I don't like leaving my house anymore. Okay, that's not funny. No one like what the? Like, go on. Go ahead. Cut in here, Jason, would you?
Yeah, no, so I'll tell you what what bothered me and didn't. I didn't really bother me that he did it in his house. I thought it was interesting, and I wondered how much of that stage was brought in and set up and how much of he just has in his house, like for any time people want to come over. Like it made me think maybe there's a room in his house that's got like a brick wall behind him that he does stand up for and entertain
for sure.
people from the house.
But
that didn't bother me so much. Mm-hmm. But the other part that you talked about really did. He seemed very out of touch, more than just the vid. It seemed like everything in the special seemed to be like rich guy problems.
Yes.
And it was all rich guy problems. And you know, I get it. You know, that's what he's dealing with right now. But like, there's a lot of other stuff that happened. And I applaud him for his other special where he kind of went through the whole dealing with the affair in cheating on his wife. And I
loved it. We talked about this.
Yeah. And I thought that was really brave. But there's other things that have happened this year. He's ended up in the hospital and nobody's really ever explained what happened there. And he references being in the hospital, but doesn't really talk about it. There's other things that have been going on in his world, but it's the same thing. And I want to put him in the category of the kind of the male that doesn't quite understand like the difference between, because there's two parts of this. And Bill Burr has straddled this line too. And there's been a few other comedians the line between what really is cancel culture and what is also just bad taste, right? There is a cancel culture out there, and I think that there's something to be said for like not being able to be completely open and share every opinion, and being locked down before you've had a chance to really explain something, and that generally is hitting men and generally hitting white guys for the most part. But at the same time, there's also a secondary line of that that's holding people accountable for dumb things that they've done that are really bad. And it seemed like in the special, he was hitting on a lot of stuff. It's like, oh, I can't even go out of my house with all you people like telling me what to do. And then using like this thing about like, I said I was vegan and then I didn't do it. And you guys, oh, this cancel culture. Now nobody, no vegans will talk to me.
It's right, because like, I ate meat. They caught me eating McDonald's in my Maybach.
Yeah.
And this woman's like, I got you eating. And I'm like, oh, no, I had to apologize. Right. Or how about buying $20,000 worth of masks?
Yeah.
Like, do you think people who are out there in the world want to hear that you can spend $20,000 on a mask? They already know you can.
Right.
This is not, go on. Sorry. I just, you
no, but hit I, but I nerve. But I think that's what it is. There was a lot of, it felt like there was a lot of curmudgeon-y, like finger wagging at other people, which I get to a point, but it also I understand, like, and I don't live in that world at all, but I also recognize like there's another way to do this. If you feel like that's the thing, don't do a special in this thing or find a group of comedy that doesn't go around that stuff. But like, you want to be outspoken in this way. That's okay. I think that you got a raw deal with the whole thing. I think that I honestly think there should be a limit or an understanding, like from this time period to this time period, understand that these jokes existed and it wasn't not that they were good or acceptable, but back then this was considered part of the mainstream and wasn't considered controversial. So please don't give everybody a hard time about this. And please don't make it so they can't host the Oscars because they said something dumb within these windows of time. Right. But at the same time, you also can't get in there so big where it's like, everybody's ruining my life as I talk to you about, you know, making 1,000 pizzas in my brick pizza oven.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. And that is, yeah, that nails it. It really does. It brings it right to sort of the conflation point, I want to say. The opposite of an inflection point. The conflation point where it's just like...
Yep. Well, and the other half of this is really, it seems like this thing where it's like, hey, I know I've done all this stuff that was wrong, wife, but I'm 40 now and I don't do anything bad. So you need to leave me alone because I've passed that stage. Like, this is my, hey, stop it. Stop judging me so hard. I'm old now. I'm not doing that stuff anymore.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to show what a good dad I am. Like,
I don't care. Just be a good dad.
Look how they started the show.
Yeah. Who is probably a really great dad and has never done this is Chappelle, right? If you're going to just do pure jokes, like Chappelle talks about his kids and talks about all the crazy stuff. He talks about cancel culture.
They're good friends, by the way, supposedly.
Yeah. But the way Chappelle does it is very much more on this like very self-critical and very introspective path. And I'm not, this isn't about race. This is about two men who are taking a, you know, different point of view about aging, and seems like, yeah, he's curmudgeon-y and he sees a lot of wrong. And I just recommended something where he basically said, I didn't get paid for something that I legally signed off on. And I understand it like that, you know, there's another side to that goes, well, you fucking signed it and you got money back in the day. Stop fucking whining. You know, I could have that opinion, but the reason I don't is because of the way he explains himself. It feels very real. It feels very honest. There's to me, and this is, I think, the truth about this to me, and I'll leave it at this. It doesn't feel honest. None of what Kevin Hart is saying feels real. It feels fabricated.
Yep. It didn't feel sincere. You're right. And you know what, Jason, and I think we can both agree on this is the last thing we'll say. If it was funny, we wouldn't care about any of it.
That's right. Damn right. If it was funny, I watched an entire season of Saved by the Bell over the weekend, and that's the last thing I planned on doing.
Right. If it was funny, we wouldn't care. Eddie Murphy talked all about being rich. Mm-hmm. You know, Eddie had this to the... It was funny.
Yep.
That's all. So until Wednesday, we'll see you Wednesday now. So this is, we're doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So until our next episode, everyone, right? We're done, right, Jess?
We're done.
So fast. Everyone stay safe, stay sane, stay strong. Jason Smith.
Cliff Dorfman, I love you, everybody. Take care of yourself. Stay home.
Yes.